things, and I was telling somebody, just so you know, I really believe there's audiovisual demons, okay? That you can set this thing up and have it working perfect Saturday night. And even this morning, you can set it up and have it all working perfect, and then you come in and something goes wrong. It's just all this technology stuff. Anybody got a computer? Anybody here have a computer? Do those things always work perfect? Any? You know, I mean, they're computers. But maybe it really fits. You know, how was your week last week? Anybody, I always end the service, you guys, we finish our last song, and I always say, have a great week, because I'm going to. Yeah, well, guess what? I didn't. Anybody else in that boat? You know, it was so funny because it was like last week when I preached, I was sharing with you, you know, we're doing the 60-60 challenge, taking 60 minutes, 60 seconds every 60 minutes. Remember, you got your little timer, right? Remember, you got your timer. And it goes off every hour. You're supposed to just take 60 seconds to think about God and to pray. And in the first week we did that, I had a really good week. And maybe this is really good. Well, this week, Monday morning rolls around at 5 o'clock in the morning, and the phone goes off. My dad needs some assistance. And so I'm flying up to Sacramento. Anybody? Yeah. And it just snowballed from there. I mean, you know, the whole week I get calls of this issue. You know, I almost cut my leg off. Oh, I'm having heart problems. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Another kid calls up. Oh, I got mugged. Yeah. Anybody have a week like that? You know, your wife goes on somewhere and some issues come up. My wife's up in Sacramento helping my dad right now. You know, he's 81. My mom had passed away. My wife had to go up and change the sheets on the bed, okay? Yeah. Anybody have a week like that? What do you do? You know, what do you do? You know, how do we deal with this? And I really believe prayer makes a difference. I'm going to still do that 60-second thing. Anybody? How you doing on it? You doing pretty good? You know, the message series, what I was trying to do with the message series, because you say, well, pray every 60 minutes for 60 seconds. It's like, well, what do I pray for? So that series and what I've been looking at is, well, how can you do that? What can you pray during that time? And so last week kind of talked about praising God. We're looking at the model prayer. Remember we had a difference between the model prayer and the Lord's Prayer? The Lord's Prayer is John chapter 17. You're supposed to read that. Anybody read that? I don't see any hands going up. All right, I see a few. Read John 17. You want to read John 17? I'll tell you what, you'll find out. Guess who prayed for you? Jesus prayed for you. Did you know that? Jesus prayed for you. Read John chapter 17. But we've been looking at the model prayer, trying to discover this. And what can we do during that 60 seconds? Well, I want you to write here somewhere, right? Pray for our 40-day study. Write that down there somewhere on your notes. I want you praying. We got our 40-day study coming up. Starts with October and runs through most of November, and we're going to be talking about praying, and what we're looking at is servolution. We're going to be doing a study on how, as God's children, we can make an impact in our world by serving. That God has called us to be servers, and I'm going to challenge you to pray for that. Pray for, as you look at your 60 seconds, Steve and I were talking, we want 15 groups in Bible study. We want to have 15 Bible study groups this time. And so we're going to challenge you, and I'm going to make it real simple for you. Here's the challenge for you. I'm laying it out for you, and this will be, you might need to pray for this. Get two friends and have a Bible study. Just get two friends. The DVD is going to be a lot of fun, all right? If for no other reason, you can say, come over and watch my pastor make a fool out of himself, all right? Because the DVD, I'm going to be the teacher, all right? You can sit there and come here and help me laugh. I don't care. But do you have two friends? Anybody here got two friends? Man, I feel bad for you guys. I'm one. You can count me as one. You got it. One more? Yeah. I'll let you count me as one. Yeah. But I want you to think about, you're going to have a DVD and two friends. Can you do that? You can stay in the group you're in. You can even stay in the group you're already in. But go for another time. Just to get two of your friends in Bible study. Just get two of your friends in the Word of God. So I want you to pray for two of your friends. Pray for our study. Pray for two of your friends. Who can you ask to say, hey, can you spend an hour with me just looking at God's Word? We're going to watch a DVD, look at some of God's scriptures, and just answer some discussion questions. That's all we're going to do. Can I have an hour this week for 6 weeks? Can you find two friends that you can do that with? I'm going to challenge you with that. And so I want you to pray about that. And like I said, we looked at praying praise last week, that we can praise God, praise Him for His character, praise Him for His blessings, praise Him for what He's done in our lives, the answered prayers, you know, praise Him for the family He's blessed you with. There's tons of things you can praise God for. This morning, I want to look at yield. I want to look at yielding to God, that you need to pray about yielding to God. Now, when I hear the word yield, you know what comes to my mind? Signs on the road. Anybody? The yield signs on the road. You know, it says yield. You see that sign that says yield. Now, you need, those who know me and that's ridden with me, you know I am a very aggressive driver. That's the best way I can say that in a polite way. That yield sign means Gary's turn, okay? That's what you, if you hesitate, I pull up to a yield sign and you hesitate a second, I'm gone. You know, that's, I mean, you know, I'm rolling. I mean, that's just me. See, yield just doesn't fit in my vocabulary. Yield's kind of like a negative term. I like those roundabouts. You know, I like those. You know, I like those things. It's like, if you better get out of the way, I'm going through. Yield to nobody. Yeah. So when I'm looking at this message this morning, I'm going, I don't know if anybody else needs it. I need it. All right? So this is really more for me. Hopefully it might touch you, but I'm the one that I struggle because I am a control freak. Those who know me know I am. How do I usually set up when I do weddings? I come, have you come in? Have you sat down? My first words out of my mouth is, I'm a control freak and I'm going to run the show. And then we talk about running the wedding. Because I'm just, how do you yield? We just don't have this positive image of yielding. You know, surrender, forfeit, give up. I just have these negative images of yielding. And yet God called us to yield. We're looking at the model prayer. If you have it right there for you, I want you to look at it again. It says, pray like this. Circle that word like again. He didn't say pray this. We're not supposed to pray this prayer, just a repetitive prayer to pray. Now, you can, but it shouldn't be the habit. So we pray like this. That's why I call it the model prayer, not the Lord's prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We talked about praising God last week. And then we come to this part. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, that is it in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Why don't you circle those words? Your will be done. Your will be. He's saying, yield to me. Now I want to ask you this. How many here, now I want you to raise your hand this time. How many here want God's will on this earth? How many here? All right. I see a lot. I was kind of thinking about 80%. I mean, I think some are going to be, I'm not sure I want to raise my hand. Some are saying, I'm not sure I really want God's will. You know, so I figure if I get 80%, that's pretty good. But let me take this another step. How many of you want to do God's will? Literally want to do God's will. That you're willing to say, I want to do God's will. No excuse, no exception, no falling back, no turning back. I'm going to do God's will. What are you going to do when God sets back and God's sitting there and he's going, hey, I don't want you to be a police officer. I want you to be a minister. What do you do when God sits there and says, yeah, I know you have plans for your life, but I want you to go to Riverside, California and go to college. No, you've never been on the campus. No, you have no scholarships. No, you don't even have a place to live. You have no job. You don't even know what's there. Matter of fact, you just got married 2 months ago, and I want you to go to Riverside. What do you do when God says, you have these dreams? You have these desires. You have these wants. You have these expectations. But I want you to do this. Do you really want to do God's will? How many of us really want to do God's will? Do you really want to do God's will? Are you willing to invite two people to Bible study in your home? Do you really want to do God's will? Are you willing to invite two people to a Bible study? You know, you don't have to go to home. Go to Starbucks, drop it in a DVD player on your computer and play it right at Starbucks, sit there and have coffee. Do you really want to do God's will? Do you really want to quit your job? You got a nice job, you're assistant manager of a movie theater, and you got a big head? And you're doing well? I mean, you're the boss. And now you're going to give that job up to go wash pots and pans so you have the weekends off. Do you really want to do God's will? Yeah. We talk about God's will coming to earth, and we talk about God's will in our lives, and it's like, yeah, I want God's will, but I like what I'm doing. I want it to go over here. I want this. I have these desires. I have these dreams. I have these things in my life. What do we do? You know, how do we do that? Here God is sitting there saying, Jesus said, when you pray, Father, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come on earth. And really what he's saying is, God, I want to do your will. Do you really want to do God's will? Do you really want to do God's will? And I want us to think about that. To surrender to God totally, absolutely. God's will. That's hard. I think a lot of people will throw our hand up. Yeah, I want to do God's will, but yet I like where I live. I like what's going on. I like what's happening. Do you really want to do God's will? And so as I looked at that, I like this passage here. Paul had spent about 11 chapters kind of outlining what God is doing in God's grace and God's mercy and all that God was up to. And he comes to this 12th chapter, and look what he says. So then, my brothers and sisters, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves a living sacrifice. I'm going to circle a lot of words there. Circle that living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing him. I kind of like that because our 40-day study is going to be on servicing. But a living sacrifice. I was listening to some guy and he was talking about, you know what, there's a problem with a living sacrifice? It wants to crawl off the altar. Yeah. Because here's the question. Today I want to do God's will. Today I want to be about what God is about. But you know what? Tomorrow morning's coming. You know, you got to decide every day if you're going to do God's will. It's not a one-time decision. I was 17 years old and I surrendered my life. I gave my life to God, sold out for God. Whatever God says, I want to do at 17. But every day I got to decide whether I want to do it or not. Tomorrow morning, I got to get up and I got to decide, God, I want to do what you want me to do this day. We're a living sacrifice. It's a daily thing we have to do. So how do we do it? That's why I wanted to get in this. How do you yield to God? How do you give it all up to God? How do you lay those desires on that altar? Those wants, those dreams. How do you lay all that stuff on the altar and say, yes, God, whatever you say. Yeah. I can remember when Laura and I would talk about it. It's still a joke for us. Laura said, I'll go anywhere you go, but we're not going to Texas. Yeah. Do you have an exception for God? God, I'll serve you, but I'll do this except. Do you ever get these exceptions with God? Yeah, God, I know you want me to do that, but I'll do that tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. Yielding is something, it's a constant battle. It doesn't happen just with a one-time decision. You have to decide this over and over. You're not just every day, but sometimes, many times during the day. Yes, God, I'm going to do that. Yeah. Yes, God, I have to go and apologize. I didn't do it. It's not my fault. He doesn't deserve the apology, but I've got to go apologize. Anybody have to do something like that? I had. It needed to be said. It should have been said. Everybody told me it was good that I said it, but I could have did a better time. Anybody? God says you got to go apologize. How about forgiving somebody? You know, that person that hurt you, that person that did something, that person maybe stabbed you in the back, gossiped about you, stole a job, stole something. I don't know that. That person that you need to forgive. And it's like, well, when they ask, I'll forgive them. Is that yielding to God? Yeah, God, I want to do your, I'm sold out, but I don't need to forgive them. They don't deserve it. They're not even sorry they did it. Yeah, we want to yield to God, but when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, do we really? Do we really want God to have his way in our lives? I'm going to tell you, we do. I'm going to go through the message this morning. In the end, you're going to go, yeah, I think it's a better plan. If you look at your outline, I put it this way. You got to let go of control. If you want God's will in your life, you got to let go of control. Now, what do you do when you're like me, a control freak? Yeah. See, I've always, I believe that verse. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I believe that verse. I try. But I've always been able to make it happen when it didn't work. See, the big challenge for me was this building right here. You know, I've been pastor here for 20 years. But I would always, we were doing things, we're passing out Bibles, we're having revivals, we're doing all sorts of stuff, talking to every home in Salida, all sorts of stuff. But whatever we did, I could always pull it together and make it work in the end. But now God says, build this building, and guess what? There's nothing. Yeah. Yeah. What do you do when, this control, when you feel you got to have control over everything? And that it's about control. I want to ask you this. As I was writing the message this morning, this week, I was thinking this. How much control do we really have? I mean, what do you think about it? How much control do you really, really have? We always joke about, at least for me, who controls the remote in my house? Me. When Laura gives it to me. Isn't that how it works, right? Who's got control? I want to ask, who really has control? Who has control of your life? How much control do you really have? Tomorrow morning, you're going to have to get up. Am I right? You're going to have to get up. Do you really control that? Do you really have any control over getting up? Now, you can control what time you get up, right? You control that time. But do you really? Your boss says you got to be at work at a certain time, right? Who's controlling the time? Your boss. Yeah. But not only does your boss control your time, I'll tell you something else that controls your time. Traffic. Am I right? Do not try to leave Salida at 8 o'clock in the morning. You'll be parked out here in front of the church trying to get across the train tracks and get out of town. You know, we think we have all this control. We don't have any control. I don't control what time I get up. I want to make a paycheck. I need some money. Guess what? I got to go to work. So I got to be up. Now I got to get up early because the traffic's horrible. You know, I have to get up at a certain time. Well, what about who controls the shower? And when I was raising my kids, guess what? You know, well, I can't. If I get up at this time, it's not going to do any good getting up because we're going to be fighting for the shower. So they got to be to school before I got to be out. So, you know, we think we have all this control. How many of you were like me? You couldn't wait to grow up. You're teenagers, your kids. You can't wait to grow up so you can be your own boss. Well, you guys know it, yeah. Are you ever your own boss? You know, are we really ever in control? Yeah. We like to think we are. Yeah. We like to think, well, I've got everything under control. Do we really? I like what it says here. Look at what it says. Psalms 46:10. Let go. Again, circle it. I'm going to circle a lot of stuff this morning. Let go of your concerns. Then you will know that I am God. I rule the nations. I rule the earth. Let go. Now, some of you might remember this, be still. And know I'm the Lord. But when you get into the Hebrew and you get into the word, I put down some words that it really helps to understand that word. The words like this meant to calm down, relax, lighten up, let go. Lighten up. How much control do you really have of your life? Do we really? Yeah. Do you control where you work? Well, how many of you really enjoy your job? Yeah, I do. You know, you're blessed if you do. How many people just go to work because they have to? Anybody? Don't raise your hand. Maybe your boss is here. Yeah. Maybe family. Yeah. We dream of control. We dream that we run our lives, but we run nothing. So when I'm talking about yielding to God, I'm just really saying, you know what? You don't control anyway. Might as well give it to Him. You might as well let God have it. You don't have control. You might think you do. You might enjoy. You might appreciate it. But literally, we don't have much control over anything. We like to think we do, but we don't. And we need to wrestle with that. How much control do we really want? How much control do we really have? I mean, what about our family? Do I think I control my wife? You guys know Laura. How much can I control Laura? Some of you are laughing at me. Yeah. Yeah. How about when you're raising your kids? Anybody here raising kids? Do you really control your kids? I mean, honestly, even when they're little kids, do you really have much control? Anybody ever raise a strong-willed child besides me? Yeah, I see some hands popping up. You know, what do you do with that thing? About that kid. Yeah? You know, we like to think we're in control. We like to think we got this. I've got it all figured out. Day one, day two, these are the steps we're going to take. This is how it's going to work out. We're going to start here and boom, boom, we get it all worked out. And maybe if you're lucky, you get two steps done, right? And it doesn't change when the kids grow up. They move off and abandon you. Yeah. They move to Washington and Idaho and Fairbanks and they just leave you. Yeah. Yeah, you got control, all right. Yeah. But we live in this world where we think, hey, I've got it under control. Do you really feel you got your life under control? Do you really feel I've got this thing all figured out? See, I love this prayer, Lord, thy kingdom come. Your will be done. God, I can't deal with life. I can't deal with all the issues. I can't deal with all the problems. I can't deal with all the struggles. I can't deal with all the battles. I can't deal with all the broken relationships. I can't deal with my spouse. I can't, okay? Just an illustration. You know, I can't deal with my kids. I hate my job. The traffic is horrible. God, anybody ever feel like that? And we like to think we got everything under control. See, I want to tell you, yielding to God says, just let it go. Just let it go. God's got it anyway. I'm going to ask you, who is really in control? Who really knows tomorrow and the next day and the next day? Who really knows what's best for your life? We need to yield to God. We think we've got it. Man, I've got all this. And the matter of fact, we don't have anything. You don't even control what time you get up tomorrow. You don't. You can set your alarm, but you don't control. You got to get up. And if you're going to go out of town, good luck getting out of Salida. You know? It's all these things control us. And so I want to tell you who God can control. I pray about the funniest things, guys. I do pray about traffic. Laura and I are going to drive to L.A. this week. I'm going to go suffer at Disneyland. You know? I pray, well, let's see. We're going to leave about 2 when Laura gets off. Man, I'll be in L.A. at about 6:30. God, I need to deal with the traffic. You know? I pray about that stuff. Let go. Give up control. Yield to God. Thy kingdom come. Lord, I want to do your will. That's the first thing. Second thing put down here is you got to learn to be content. If you're going to yield to God, you got to learn to be content. Yes, we have dreams. Yes, we have wishes. Yes, we have wants. Yes, we have desires. Yes, we have ambitions. Yes, we have all the future that we want. But we need to learn to be content. Paul's a good example of this. Paul was a very successful, well-trained individual. He was doing good in life. And God kind of shook up his life and he changed his life. He yielded to God everything. And so he's going around serving God. And in the midst of all that, guess where he ends up? In jail. And he writes this in jail. Now think about this. He's not at the Ritz-Carlton.
You know.
Room service.
You know.
Concierge, I need these events in my life. He's in a dark, dang dungeon. That's where he's sitting. Chained to somebody. Chained to somebody. And he's sitting there and he writes this. I've learned to be content in whatever situation I'm in. Sitting in jail, he says, I'm content. Now I'm going to tell you something. If I ever end up in jail, I do not expect to go to jail. I do not anticipate going to jail. I do not anticipate anything to take me to jail. I will not be content. Some of you will be getting phone calls. Bail me out. Get me out of here. You know, I guarantee you, some of you will get, if I go to jail, some of you better anticipate I'm getting a phone call. You just know it, all right? Because it's going to happen. I've learned to be content whatever situation I'm in. I know how to live in poverty or prosperity. No matter what the situation, I've learned the secret of how to live when I'm full or when I'm hungry. When I have too much or when I have too little. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. What do you do when you're doing God's will and bad things happen? God, I'm doing exactly what you asked me to do. I have said yes to you, and I'm doing exactly what you asked me to do. I'm right where you want me to go. Why is this happening? Anybody ever ask why, like me? Why is this happening? Why is this going on? Why me? And he's sitting there saying, you got to be content. I don't understand, and I don't know what's happening. I don't get this. Why does bad things happen to good people? Why, when I'm in the center of God's will, am I sitting in a dark, dank dungeon? Why? You know? And Paul's sitting there saying, I'm content. You know, whatever it is, I'm content. How do we deal with that? How do we find peace right where we're at? How do we find peace no matter what's going on around us, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation? Anybody ever feel, well, you're finally starting to get ahead? Anybody? You know, it's funny. You know, we finally went on our trip. We went and seen our grandkids in Disney World and did all that stuff. And we're finally getting things back kind of caught up and back to normal. And now you got to spend $500 on the car. Anybody? Yeah. You finally start getting things balanced. You start getting things worked out. And it's like, now what? How do we find this contentment? How do we deal with this contentment? And I think he outlined this really good. He says, here's all this stuff going on. And you know my favorite verse, and here it is again. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. See, the context of that verse is not trying to do something great. It's just trying to get through life. Do you see the context of that verse? It's not, I can do all things. I can do all things. I went to college. I did this. I did that. But it wasn't just Gary. God helped Gary do it. God provided the knowledge. God provided the skills. God provided the opportunities. God provided the resources. God did all that to make that possible. But we always read that verse as trying to do something impossible. That verse is really in the context of just dealing with life every day. How do I get through this day? How can I survive this day? How can I pull it together this day? And he's saying you do it because of God. You know, one of the questions that we often ask in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our trouble is why? And we ask that question why. And I've shared, I did a service for the death of some young people. And it's really hard because the first question I have, I'm serious, is why? Here's these little children. And it's a sad and it hurts. Why? You know, why? And what I say and what I understand is, you know what, even if I knew the why, that wouldn't comfort me. So here's what I want you to know. Why does not answer the question. What you need is God's strength to get through it. Does that make sense? Why is not going to solve the problem. Why is not going to get you through it. God's going to get you through it. See, when we yield to God, what's so exciting about that, no matter what my trouble, God takes care of it. Like I said, I got to take my car in and get my car fixed. All right, $500, a little over $500. But you know what the good thing is? God had blessed me last month with a $500 gift. Laura and I have this thing, and some of you guys know my saying, when God ever blesses me, it's like, okay, God, what's going to go wrong? Anybody?
Yeah.
Whenever I get that blessing, Laura and I, we look at one another. I mean, it's happened. You know, we get a $200 gift, and the washer or dryer goes out. Anybody? You know? You get this, and the refrigerator goes out. Yeah. It's always something, isn't it? But see, God's strength, He's that resource. He's that tool. He's that provider. He's that protector. And so if I'm going to yield to God's will, here's the benefit. If I'm yielding to God's will, guess what? I'm not in it by myself. I'm not in it alone. No matter what happens, God's with me. And He's going to get me through it. I might not come out on top, but I guarantee you what? I'm going to come out. I'm going to get through it. See, we need to see that. So we need to understand that. We got to learn to control. I mean, learn to be content. And I put learning in there because you got to learn it. It doesn't come natural. It doesn't come natural to be comfortable in bad situations. Anybody? When things go wrong, I don't know about you, but I'm not at ease. I'm not comfortable when things go wrong. So it's hard to be content. Okay, God, you know. I tell you, you take your car, you pull into the shop, you park the car, and you know, oh, that's not going to be good. Yeah. And so you walk around town. That's what I did Friday. You know, it's like, put new tires on the front, and Costco said, they're kind of wobbly. You might want to have it looked at. Thanks. You know, so you pull it into the shop, and then the guy says, okay, we'll look at it, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Then you start walking through town. There was a lot more than 60 seconds, every 60 minutes prayer going on that time. You know, because it's God. It's God. You got to be content. God, I don't get this. I don't understand this. That was my money for my trip. Now what am I supposed to do for my trip, right? Anybody? Yeah. We got hotel reservations booked. We got everything all set. Laura's got her days off. And now the money that I was going to take for my trip is going to go to the car. But I got to have the car if I want to get down there. Anybody? Anybody know where I'm going with this? Yeah. But God's in control. He's in control. Be content. We got to learn to be content. We got to let go and learn to be content. Let God have it. Another thing, if we're going to do this and let God and give it up and get God's will, is we got to lay down our plans. You got to lay down, laying down your plans. It's what your choice. It's this is what I wanted. This is where I wanted my life to go. This is what I wanted in my dreams. This is where I seen my life 10 years from now, 5 years from now. Anybody make those 10-year plans and 5 years plan and go, this is where I'm going to be and this is how it's going to work? And then you look back on it and you go, whatever happened? Yeah. We got to give our plans to God. Look at the scripture here. And He said to all, He being Jesus, just so you know, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let me tell you something. It's a contradiction to say Jesus is Lord and to disobey him. Did you know that? It's a contradiction to say Jesus is Lord and to disobey. I try to make it very plain in this church over the 30 plus years I've been here, because I make salvation really something. Salvation is not walking some aisle and shaking some preacher's hand. Getting right with God is not, you know, well, I was baptized as an infant. Yeah. Getting right with God is not, well, I'm trying to be good. I'm doing the best I can to be good. And I'm a good person most of the time. That doesn't make one right with God. And I try to make this as simple as I can in this church. Being right with God is reaching a point in your life where you say something like this. God, I'm tired of doing things my way, my will. God, I want to do them your way. Your will. Come into my life and take control. That's what salvation is all about. That's what a relationship with God is all about. It's about a surrendering of our will to His. It's about a yielding to God. It's about giving to God. And we've got to reach that point. If anyone come after me, deny himself. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in Gary as it is in heaven. The plans that God has for his life. God, thy will, denying it. And we see that word cross, and I want to make sure you understand, the cross for Jesus was his death, right? The cross for you is God's plan, God's will for your life. When I was 17 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ. When I was 19 years old, the cross that God had for me became very real in my life. When I was 19 years old, I felt God call me to be a pastor. That's that cross. Now, it doesn't mean it's a burden to me. I'm going to tell you, being a pastor is not a burden. I am having a great life. I am blessed. Now, do I have heartaches? Yes. Do I have troubles? Yes. Do I cause troubles? You know it. Yeah. That's part of life. That's my cross. It's not a burden. I am so blessed. I got to raise my kids in one town, in a little town of Salida. I love it. Yeah. Great school. Watch them grow up, and I got to stay here, and I got to know you. I love this church. I love you people. I love each of you. You're part of my life. You're part of my family. Yeah. That's my this is my cross. Give me another one. Yeah. See, that's that picture. Are you willing to give God that plan for your life? You know, and I wanted to be a police officer. You know what the marriage divorce rate in the police officers are? I don't know the exact, but I know it's high. How's it like that one? Yeah. You know, I love psychology. I enjoy psychology. You know what the suicide rate of a psychologist is? It's really high. The other ones are supposed to have life together. Yeah. Give our lives to God. My plans or God's plans? I'm going to choose God's plan. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Are you willing to do God's will? See, I just got to give my plan to God. You know, those desires, those dreams, I want to be a cop. Yeah, I want to do this. What about, you know, someday I hope to retire someday. I don't know if it's ever going to happen. You know what I want to do when I retire? I'm going to go to Disneyland. They have a lot of seniors down there. I'll be taking your tickets. Yeah. Maybe I'll let you in. Hey, I know them. They ain't coming in. Yeah. That's my dream. But let me tell you what my commitment is. My commitment is to the will of God. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I honestly don't know. It would be fun. At least I think it would. But I know right now, this is where God wants me, and I'm having a blast. God is good. God is great. Let us sing for this food now. That's, you know, do we see God? What plans do you have for your life that you need to lay on the altar? You got it all figured out. I'm going to tell you, you might have it all figured out, but I'm going to tell you what, God has control. See, let me tell you something. It would be really hard for me to be a police officer. Do you know that? I probably would never be able to be a police officer because of my mama. I'm colorblind. I had a dream to be a police officer, and guess what? I could never do it. Because, you know, when they say, hey, there goes a red car. What red car? Yeah? I probably could. Here's my dream that I had. The vision I had. The plan I had for my life. That I found out later on, I probably couldn't do. They wouldn't even hire me. Yeah? Does God have a better plan? Oh, yeah. Are you willing to give your plan up for God's? Are you willing to let God have his plan for your life? Let God work in your life? Look at what it says here in the scriptures. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. And as I looked at that, there's God's plans. And the two words I want you to circle here is future and a hope. No matter what's going on in your life, you know, we looked at Paul's bad situation, but Paul always had the hope. Paul always had the hope. Yeah. In the midst of all of that, you need to see that. There's always, I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care where you're at. It might seem like you're in the pits. It might seem like you're at the bottom and you're looking up and you can't even see light. But I want to tell you, there's hope through Jesus Christ. See, when you're in God's will, there's always hope. There's always hope. What do you do when your dream is to be a pastor? You're in that calling God has given you is to be a pastor. You go through 7 years of school and 7 years of college and a master's program, and you pursue all those things, and you go to your first church, and you're put through hell. Do you know Christians can be really horrible? Anybody ever find horrible Christians? Don't raise your hand. Don't look at me. Yeah. You had that. Here's this dream, and you want to be a pastor, and all of a sudden you're just getting fired. What do you do? Is there hope? I'm going to tell you, a year and a half there, 31 years here. What a blessing. Did I learn something this year and a half that I've used here for 31 years? You bet. God taught me something there that made it possible for me to stay here 31 years. Do I want to go through that again? No. Yeah. But do we control, do we trust God? Look at what it says. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek God. Let's go through this last one really, really quick. Because you're never going to trust, you're never going to do yield to God's will until you trust him, okay? Trusting God for the results. You're never going to do and never surrender your unless you trust God. If you're having a problem yielding to God, the problem is not yielding to God. The problem is, do you trust him? Do you trust God has better plans for your life? Do you trust God will give you the strength to go through whatever you have to go through? Do you trust God? That's the question when it comes to yielding. Most of us would say yes, but just in case, just we'll have a little safety net. We'll have a little security. You know, maybe you'll hear words like my mom told me when I'm getting ready to go off to college to study to be a pastor. And your mom says, well, make sure you take some other courses just in case this pastoring thing doesn't work out. She had no concept. And her dad was a pastor, a brush arbor pastor. And she had no concept. Just in case. I don't know. He said, do this, I'm going. Yeah. Has it been some challenges? I could tell you stories. And you know what? We all have stories, don't we? Anybody here been through the school of hard knocks? Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, I think we've all been through that school. Some of us are still in it, right? Do we trust God? Do we trust God? Look at what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Just seek God. Just God. I'm going to trust God for the reason. Wherever it leads, wherever it goes, I'm trusting God. Look at what it says. The Lord takes care of those who obey him and gives them eternal rewards that last forever. They will survive through hard times and will have more than enough even in a time of famine. God's going to take care of them. I like that. Eternal rewards that last forever. Most of our rewards here on earth don't last forever. Anybody remember the first car you bought? Anybody? Did it last forever? You still driving that car? It's 1964 Mustang convertible. Man, yeah. I wish I still had that car. Last forever. Anybody still in the first home you ever bought? Yeah. Last forever. Does anything last forever? You know, you buy a battery for your car, it'll last forever. Yeah. Until it goes dead. Yeah. I like those warranties. Lifetime warranty, the life of the product. Duh. The product only is supposed to last 5 years. Well, it was life of the product. Yeah. I put this down here. Let me tell you, this is what it's all about. When you yield to God, this is what you get. When you surrender to God and you give God all, you give up control, you become content, you give away your plans and let God run your life, here's these things real quick. I'm going to run through these real quick. You give up, you give your past regrets to God. No more regrets. No more of that, you know, that burdens that you have from the past, that horrible stuff, that stuff that you want out, that garbage in your life is gone. Your sins are cast into the sea of forgetfulness. They're as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. No regrets. I have no regrets. One of the kids had to do a survey for school and asked me, did I have any regrets? I told him, no, I don't have any regrets. I don't. No regrets. Give your present problems to God. You got any issues? Anybody got a problem? Give it to God. Give your future ambitions to God. I don't have to worry about my future. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. I tell you what, I got a great tomorrow. I got a great Tuesday morning when I take my car into the shop. That's going to be a good day, all right, when I got to give them $500. That's a good day. Nah. Ambitions. Give your fears to God. Give your dreams to God. Give your weakness to God. Give your bad habits to God. Give your hurts to God. Do you really want God to control your life? Look what you get when you give God control. You got a choice. I do life my way, or I do life God's way. I do life my way. There's going to be good days, bad days. Good times, bad times. Heartache, sadness, rejoicing. It's all there, but I'm on my own. Suck it up. Deal with it. Or I do it God's way, and I yield to God, and I have problems, and I have struggles, and I have heartaches, and I have all that go on, but I got Jesus. I can do all things who strengthens me. See, it's our choice. Do we really want to yield to God? So I got some hindrances. It's your choice. You make your decision. Here's what you got to look at. Hindrance? How about your self-will? I want my way. There's a book out there, Strong-Willed Child, James Dobson. Good read. I had one. I read the book because I had one. Yeah. Problem is, sometimes, though I'm not a teenager anymore, I act like one. I want it my way right now. Anybody tell God that? Let's go on. Stubborn pride. Pride gets in the way of yielding to God. Personal ambition. Climbing that ladder. Success. Other people. Somebody else trying to control your life. Somebody else trying to make you make decisions. Somebody else trying to move you. You know, like I said, as a teenager, I can't wait to grow up. I'll be my own boss. I'm going to tell you, I've never been my own boss. Even when I was assistant manager of theater, I wasn't my own boss. Even though he was gone. There was somebody in San Francisco calling to tell me what to do. You're never your own boss. You know, if you own your own business, let me tell you something. You own your own business, you're not the boss. Somebody else is telling you what to do. You like to think you're the boss. I want to challenge you this morning. Will you surrender to God? Will you yield to God? Do you really think you got control of your life? You really, I got it all under control. My little kingdom. My little world, I've got it all under control. I'm going to tell you, all it takes is one little rock in that pool of yours to cause some ripples. It can change things in a blink of an eye. Yield to God, because when those ripples come, you're going to need somebody to lean on. You're going to need somebody to walk with. God, not my will, but thine be done. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in me. In me. At the bottom of your page, I put it this way. I, blank, yield all to God. I wrote Gary in there. I don't know what you want to write in there. You write whatever. I'm going to encourage you to write your name. That you make the decision. I can't make you do that. But I can only tell you this. If you like those things up there, when you yield to God, it comes through Jesus Christ. You're not going to get it on your own. I guarantee you, it will not go away. But with God, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words. That though this world looks out of control, and sometimes our life feels like it's out of control, just spinning around, I thank you that you're a loving, caring God, that you know us. That you love us, and above all, that you're with us. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you feel like life's just spinning out of control. Maybe you just feel like you just can't seem to get a grip on what's going on. You want me to pray for you? Just shoot a hand up. Just raise a hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. I see them. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands that were lifted to you. You know the lives that they represent. You know the heart. When Jesus died on the cross, his arms were open wide for these that are coming to you, Lord, with these circumstances, the situations. Life just seems to be spinning around, and I just lift them up to you. The why of all of it is not going to be the answer. But you are the strength. Your presence is the answer. So I ask you to make your presence real in their lives. Touch their heart in some way this day, this week, to let them know that you have not forgot them, that you know them, that you see them, that you are with them. Touch them, Lord, with your presence, for you are our strength. As we've let it go, find contentment, give you our plans, and we're just trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I practice to give an invitation. Invitation is real simple. It's just a time I stand here to pray with you. I don't know what God is doing. Maybe you've never crossed. I hear me talk about that invisible line. Maybe you've never surrendered your heart to God yet. Maybe you've never yielded to God. Maybe you've known God. You've known about God. I always knew there was a God. Not until I was 17 did I yield to God. Maybe you need to make that decision. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. You might have been baptized. You might have shucked some preacher's hand. But you've never surrendered your will to God. That's your challenge this morning. Maybe there's some things in your life that are just spinning and you want to pray about. Maybe some battles, maybe some burdens. I don't know, whatever God has. But this is up to me for you to give it to God and to rely on his strength. And I'm here to pray with you. So I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to sing a song. And as we sing, you come as the Spirit leads. So would you stand and you come as the Spirit leads.